I'll share with you a message today that comes from Psalm 84. I'll read the whole psalm for you. So listen to these words. Psalm 84 is the scripture for today. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk, whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Having a place. Finding a home. A place that you can live, that you can exist. I don't know about you, but a place of home is more than having a house. It's more than having a shelter to get out of the storms of life. A home is a place where I can go and I can feel comfortable. A home is a place where peace exists, where comfort is, and we're just knowing that you're blessed. This psalmist writes about this and says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Now, as the psalmist writes this, they're speaking about either the tabernacle or the temple. That dwelling place of God where they can go and see the Shekinah of God, the shining of God, the presence of God. Principles of Faith on Sunday morning, we're looking at the setup of the tabernacle and how that's set up and how that can help us approach God in our relationship. And we just, last week we talked about the setup of the tabernacle, and this week we talked about coming into the courtyard and how we need to prepare our hearts before we come. And then there's the altar burnt offering, and then there's the laver where I can wash and confess and be cleansed. And we're going to continue that on next week as we step into the tent itself to talk about how that guides us and leads us. This psalmist talks about, though, there's a dwelling place. There's a place that I can be. I believe that all people, we have a desire to find a place of rest that we can call home. We have a desire. We want to find that place where we can just find that rest. I know for me that is just a wonderful thing to find a place where I can prop my feet up. Find a place where I can be warm, nice cup of coffee, and just take it easy. No reason to perform, no reason to go out and go overboard, but just a place to rest. And yes, my place of home requires a cat. Maybe yours doesn't, but mine does. My cat helps me so much, because if I'm not in the right place at home, she lets me know. You see, after breakfast, I go and I sit in the lazy boy in my cave, and that's where she wants to be, to sit in my lap. Because often she gets petted or combed while I'm sitting there during my prayers and reading my scripture. And if I don't slowly move in that direction, she's going to let me know. She will stand there and meow at me. It's time. And that lazy boy that I have in my cave is a place that for many, many years I have met with God. I hope that you have that kind of place that is kind of set off to the side. And then it's a place, a dwelling place. It's a home where you can feel comfortable. I believe it was Augustine who said, St. Augustine, that all of us within us have a hole. And that hole can only be filled with God. God created that hole within us that can only be filled with a relationship with God and finding that place of rest that we can call home. Now, home really doesn't require a house. Home doesn't really require a lazy boy. I know, brother, I'm right on the edge of heresy right now, because Jerry's lazy boy, he calls it the Word. For those of you that don't know, if he tells you he's got to get in the Word, that means that I got to spend some time in the Word. That probably means that he's praying to God, right? Amen. Okay. At least that's what he's called. That's his place of home. Actually, it means he's taking a nap, but don't tell him that we know about that, okay? Folks, do you have that place? That place that you can call home? Do you know what this psalmist is talking about? Because the psalmist even goes on to say that nature also longs for the same. And I believe that if we watch nature, we'll find our answer. Did you hear what the psalmist said? The psalmist says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she might raise her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty. You see, I believe that creation was also redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I believe that sacrifice helped creation to find a home too. Paul speaks about that as he writes in the book of Romans. He says that creation even groans for Christ to return again. And there's something about finding the animals that have a comfortable place and a place to be. And to know that place near God where they can be protected. You see, rest and home for all creation is found within the house of God. For all creation is found within the house of God. And without knowing that place where you can live and exist in God's presence, in communion with God, you will always be restless. Always. And as I said, it doesn't require a physical spot, but it requires something in your heart that you know that I can be in God's presence where I am, and I can rest in that. One of the things that I know that people don't do well, and you'll probably agree with me when I say this, most people don't know how to rest. They know how to move from activity to activity. They know how to stay busy. They know how to move from place to place. And I've got things I've got to get done today. And I've got to do this, and I've got to rush here and do that, and I've got to do this. Do you know a place where you can just rest? Where you can just be in God's presence and take it easy? And that you can allow God to love on you. I mean, you've probably heard somebody say this. Don't just stand there, do something, right? As I look around, by the looks on your faces, I have an imagination that says some of you have said that to people at times. Have you not? Don't just stand there, do something. People used to say when I was a teenager, they used to say that I didn't know how to work and that I didn't like work. And my dad used to stick up for me. And he used to say, no, he loves work. He could watch it all day. By your laughter, maybe my dad wasn't sticking up for me? Is that what you're... But seriously, do you know a place where you can rest? Do you know a place where you can just sit down in God's presence and just be there? Not have to do something. Just let God love on you. I heard Henry Blackaby say this, and I really think it's true for a lot of people. I think God sometimes just says, don't do anything, stand still so I can love you. It's not very easy to hit a moving target. Can you rest? That's in God's design for all of creation. Do you realize that? In 6 days, God created, and on the seventh, God did what? If God feels a need to rest 1 day out of seven, why do we stand up and say, I don't need it? I can get some things done today too. Just because it's the seventh day doesn't mean, whatever day is the seventh day for you. I'm not going to qualify that. My seventh day is Friday. That's my seventh day. And I do everything I can not to answer the phone, not to answer emails, not to answer text messages. That's a day just to rest. Just to be in God's presence and to enjoy a simple, easy pace of life. And finding rest happens within a relationship with God. The psalmist goes on to say, and you may not be aware of what these words really mean. Verse 4 and verse 5 say, blessed. Blessed also means happy. Same word. It means happy. When Jesus talks on the Sermon on the Mount and he talks the Beatitudes and he says, blessed are those, he's meaning happy. Happy are those. Blessed and happy are those who dwell within the courts of God's house. Happy. Are you happy to be within the family of God? Are you happy to be within the family of God? Same people. Is anybody else here today? Are you happy to be within the family of God?
Amen.
Act like it. We're kinfolks. Enjoy the relationship with one another. Living within the courts of God, what does it say? That's the most blessed and happy thing that there is. Living within the family of God is the most blessed and happy thing there is. I think of those that I've walked with on this journey. I did notice, hadn't noticed it this week as I read this, but I noticed it as I was reading it right in front of you. This is incredible how this happens. I can read this psalm over and over and over and over again all week. And I did not see this one phrase until I read it aloud to you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, verse 5, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Do you know what it means to be on pilgrimage? A continuing, ongoing journey towards the holy place. Not a sitting on the log like a bump or a turtle. A continuing, ongoing journey. A continuing, growing, and developing relationship with God. What does it say? Happy are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on an ongoing, continuing journey. Something that doesn't stop. Are you learning something new about God every day? Are you learning something new about your relationship with God every day? Do you know that place of rest? Professor in seminary helped me to find that place of rest for me. I'll be over thankful for him. He helped me to learn how to just sit down and do nothing. And just be still for a moment. Not to work on the grocery list in my head. Not to work on what needed to be done for work. Not to work on what needed to be fixed at home. He invited us one time to go on a 42-hour retreat with him. And this is what he said. The 42-hour retreat will be just to waste time for God. Just to waste time for God. He started us out with a devotion in the morning. And he said, there's beautiful gardens out here. Go out and just waste time. Just sit. He challenged us not to bring any work with us. To bring a Bible and a journal, and that was it. And to just go out and waste time. I know, that doesn't sound right, does it? But can you just sit down with God and just wait? Dr. Henson created within me a great need to just sit down. It was a need that was already there, but he showed it to me. Just to sit down and let God love on me. Just to be in God's dwelling place, no matter where I was. I can be in the busiest of malls and I can sit down and just quietly be in God's presence. I can be waiting in line somewhere and I can quietly wait to be in God's presence. To know that dwelling place, no matter where I am, because God is present in all places. Good friend of mine is very convinced that they've already got a job once they get to heaven. And they already know what their job's going to be. And their job is going to be operating the vacancy, no vacancy light at the gates of heaven. So that all the people that cut them off in traffic as they walk towards the gates, no vacancy. And as they turn around, vacancy. No vacancy. Vacancy. You know, there's some people that believe that all they'll ever do is just make it into the gates of heaven. They're not so sure that they're going to fully make it in just by the skin of their life, they're going to be able to make it just inside the gates. And they say, what a glorious and wonderful thing that is. You know what? That thought's right. Look at what it says here. Verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. How about you? Would you like to be that doorkeeper? By the way, I don't think there's a vacancy, no vacancy sign. I've tried to explain this to the other person, but somehow that's how they get their understanding of how some of these people are going to get what's due to them. Could you be satisfied with just being a doorkeeper? In what little task that would be. Because the psalmist says, just one day there, Lord. Just one day there. Even being the doorkeeper is better than the whole rest of my life. Is there a longing within you? Is there a longing within you to come ever closer to God? Is there a longing in you that you just can't feed? It's as though there is a hole within you. And you have continued to pour into it in many different directions and in many different ways, and that hole has never become full. Because you've tried to fill it with the wrong things. That is a bottomless hole. Unless you fill that hole with what it was created for. Even being a doorkeeper is a place the scriptures say that people never go without. Are you yearning for that? Has God touched your heart in such a way that you can't wait for more? And I'm going to say this, if you're not at that point, it's time to sit down and let God love on you some. It's time to stop busying your life with so many things. It's time to stop trying to achieve so many accomplishments. You see, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will live in eternity with God forever. Why not start working on that relationship now? Why not take some time to get to know God's love now? I'm currently working on memorizing a poem by St. John of the Cross. I've struggled the last few weeks in working and adding some more to it. It's called The Spiritual Canticle. I would highly recommend reading it. But John talks about what's happening in his soul, about how God has touched his heart in such a way that he is just longing and yearning for more. And God, you've touched my heart in such a way that it feels as though I've been wounded. Because I've come to know your love, but I want to know it more. I desire to know it more. He says that he will go through the hard places in life to find that. He'll go through the greenest pastures and not pick flowers. He will go through not worried about the wild beasts that might attack him. And he even goes on to say in stanza 6, he goes on to say, do not send me any more messengers, for they cannot tell me what I must hear. What St. John is saying is, I want to know you and you alone. Don't send me other people to talk about you, to tell me things about you. I want a relationship with you, God, in such closeness that I know it. That's what the psalmist is talking about. I yearn, I want. Look at how he says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Is that happening within you? Are you crying out for a deeper relationship with God? Maybe you haven't started that relationship. Maybe you thought you did. Maybe it's time to take it deeper. Maybe it's time to make a recommitment to that deeper relationship and to be willing to sit down and let God love you. Folks, when we get busy, it ruins our focus on God. And there are times that we've got to pull back and take it easy. There are times that we've got to pull back and we've got to know this dwelling place inside and out. And I've got to know that I can be there. My heart, my personal heart yearns for a deeper relationship with God. I came to know Jesus Christ in the early 80s. I really committed my life in the early 90s. And ever since that day, I have yearned for a deeper and deeper relationship. And that yearning keeps growing. I want that more than anything else. I'll give everything I've got away to have that deeper relationship with God. Is that happening for you? Is that happening for you? Is it something when you wake up in the morning, I want to spend some time with God? Is it something as you fall asleep at night that you want to make a deeper connection with God before you fall asleep? Is it something as things happen throughout the day that you go, Lord, let me pause so that I can know you better? Do you yearn always to be within the courts of God? Do you yearn always to be within the courts of God? I'm going to tell you right now, it's worth it. It's worth every minute that you take to make and allow that yearning to grow in your lives. That's one of the reasons I'm memorizing the spiritual canticle, because it's all about that. It's all about a deeper yearning. It starts out this way. Where have you hidden, beloved? You fled like the stag after wounding me. I went out calling you and you were gone. Shepherds, you who go up through the sheepfolds to the hill, if by chance you see him, tell him, I am sick, I suffer, and I die. Seeking my love, I will hid for the mountains and for watersides. I will not gather flowers fear wild beasts. I will go beyond strong men and frontiers. Do you have that kind of yearning to chase after God? Do you have that kind of yearning for that kind of relationship? Let's pray. Lord, there are so many things in this world that capture our attention. There are so many things that we spend so much effort on. And the truth is, the majority of those things will not go with us to eternity. The only things that will are our relationships with other believers and our relationship with you. Help us to yearn for a deeper relationship with you. One that can't wait to grow closer to you. One that can't wait for the next moment when we know more about you. One that wants you and you alone. Lord, please, help that yearning to be the number one thing in our lives, that we might know you better so that we can live for you better in this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.